Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 5th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Scally. How are you doing, Scally?
Oh, hello. Hello, Taryn. I am good. I am excited for this new cast, new season. Once you threw me this olive branch, I wanted to make sure that I took it very quickly and got back to you.
don't you turn down my olive branches.
No, I would never. I would, you know, prompt responses only on the olive branches.
You don't like olives.
The branch itself could probably make a nice decoration.
I feel like it's kind of an insult if you know somebody doesn't like olives and you're like, here's an olive branch.
Not an olive guy, but, you know, I will pretend to be for the sake of this.
All right. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 10 feeds. It was day 7 in the house, and there's a lot to get to. Obviously, the first full day of feeds, we had nominations and just gathering more information on the different alliances in the house, the relationships that exist, a lot of one-on-one conversations with Marty that we will summarize for you because they were basically all the same. We'll see where we go from here, but we'll get into it all here, Scally.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait to be summarizing some of these conversations because, as you said, a lot has been revealed in the first full day.
Yes. So Marty is our HOH. And throughout the day, as I said, Marty is going to be speaking with people. I mean, this is for like a good bulk of the day. Normally I look forward to the HOH one-on-ones because it's a great opportunity for the HOH to sort of get information from the people that they're talking to. And you get a sense of where people's heads are at. And it's kind of like, it can be as interesting as like a chess match between two people in a conversation, or it could be, one person really like digging in on another to get information from them, or somebody struggling to survive because they could potentially be going up on the block or something like that. Marty is going to talk a lot about making good TV, but his conversations are extremely dull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marty himself is not really bringing it. I think he kind of backs into some good TV and gets pretty excited about it, which we'll see later. But Marty himself is just kind of same conversation over and over, going to be pretty direct with people here.
Yes, and that's because sort of like, you know, Kyland before him, he has one thing he's going to like say, like one speech he's going to say to every person. And this is like, this should never be your strategy as an HOA. You should always be talking to, like, you can have a message that you want to send to people, but then you should actually talk to them so that you can actually hear what they have to say instead of just giving up all of your information. So Marty is going to say, and because the thing is, this conversation takes like upwards of like over a half hour for every person to get through Marty's whole thing. And so his whole thing is that, look, I really, really wanted to target Stephanie. I really wanted to target her. I don't trust her. I think she's a big threat. Did you see how well she did in that HOH competition? But unfortunately, oof, rookie mistake. I made a deal with her up there because I didn't trust her. I made a deal with her during the HOH competition. And so now I can't do anything. I can't nominate her. I can't backdoor her. She's going to be completely safe this week. Oof, what an idiot I am. But that's just the way that I am. I have to stick to my word. And that's the way that I'm going to play this game for the first half of it. Then in the second half of it, I'm going to lie and stuff because it's Big Brother. And hopefully nobody he literally says this out loud at one point. Hopefully nobody remembers I said that. And then in the second half of the game, they're like, oh, remember when you said you were going to lie to me? So hopefully that doesn't happen. But for this first half of the game, he really needs to stick to his word and not target the people that he really doesn't trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not ideal, that's for sure. You don't want to be broadcasting what you're going to be changing up your strategy to later in the season. But even now where, like, yeah, I don't think that Marty should be breaking the Stephanie deal in week one, despite not having the best relationship. But he also should not be telling everyone, including basically Stephanie, about how, I don't trust her. And this we do like 1 week deal will not go beyond this week. If Stephanie wins HOH next week, like she's probably just going to target me anyway. So Marty is really not getting anything out of it.
Yes. And so now when he says to most people that he wants to target Stephanie, most people are saying you should. Why aren't you? Please do that. Most people want him to target Stephanie. I mean, obviously, most people want him to target Jessica, but he's already made it very clear he's not targeting them. And so when he seemingly opens the door to be like, yeah, I really hate Stephanie. She's the worst. I don't trust her at all. She's a super big threat. They're like, then, do that. No, I can't. I made a deal. I can't do that. I'm a man of my word. Okay. But even like a renom, like, surely your deal wasn't that detailed. Nope. Couldn't do it. Told her she was safe. Can't do it. So Stephanie clearly pretty expendable to most people in this house. As they are all trying to get him to break this deal with her, but he does not do that. He's not going to break the deal. And he also lets pretty much everybody know, that because Stephanie is off the table as somebody that he would love to target, he only has a few more people that he is comfortable putting up on the block. Those people being Jay, JC, Jessica, Kevin. He really doesn't want to put up Jessica, if he can help it. And so he is going to, and we talked about this yesterday during the update in the morning, he's going to tell Jessica, I'm not going to put you up. It would be a disaster if my HOH was taking you out of the game. You are no threat to me. But if the veto is used, I'm going to have to put you up on the block. And Jessica's like, that's dumb. I will go home. You will have wasted your HOH. What is even the point of that? He's later going to give them the option of, well, would you prefer to go up immediately so that you can compete in the veto? And they were like, not really. And they continue to argue against him. Now, this does seem to change over the course of the day as more people do try to push him on to targeting Jessica. Marty seems to back further away from the idea of Jessica as a replacement nominee. And I do think that some of Jessica's arguments are hitting, are landing with him as well. And by sort of the midpoint of the day, Marty has decided, you know what? Jessica's not going up on the block at all. Instead, it will be Kevin. Kevin will be the replacement nominee. Kevin is the one that will pretty much go home if the veto is used. And that's the new plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one thing I will give Marty is when he sees everyone is coming up pitching Jessica immediately as he wins HOH, he's like, why would I do that then? So Marty recognizes properly that he does not need to be the one to target Jessica. Jessica, I will say, like, their direct approach, like, does not work with everyone. It seemed to have worked with Marty by the end of their conversation. Jessica seemed to have gotten him to agree that They will not be the renom. I think that was only further strengthened by everyone else's pitches surrounding Jessica, but it was at first very much up in the air where, like you said, Marty, it's a complete disaster, but it is the third most likely scenario. So sorry.
Yes. Now, when I say that Marty is telling everyone this same story about who he would love to target and who he plans to target, I do mean everyone, because he is also telling, as I said, Jessica themselves that they were an option to go up on the block. He is going to tell Kevin that, yes, I'm sorry, but you will be going up on the block if the veto is used. Kevin is not pleased about that, obviously. He will be telling JC and Jay that they are going up on the block. And he will even be telling Stephanie herself about how, yeah, I was definitely going to put you on the block, but then because I didn't trust you, I made that deal with you in the HOH, and I'm not going to go back on that. And Stephanie does kind of come away from this conversation feeling like, okay, maybe there's room to not be at each other's throats in the future. But even just this morning, Herman was telling Stephanie, like, Marty's coming after you. You know that, right? Everybody knows that. He really wants to.
It's so great to tell five people that you wish you could nominate them, not even before veto is played, but before the nomination ceremony. Like, maybe, you know, most people don't want to tell even three people. Like, I only want to escape with two, but Marty is full force on five already.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like I said, as an HOH, especially an early HOH, the goal should be to gather information from people and then use that information to build alliances, structures, anything that you can. You should be building in week two. The only person that should be just kind of like coasting in a week two or three or whatever HOH is somebody like Derek, who has already built a massive structure and is just using the HOH to solidify that structure. If you are somebody like Marty or Austin before him last season, who maybe is in like a four-person thing that's pretty clearly a side thing, but you don't know that, but you have maybe like a couple of people who you're in an alliance with, but certainly not a power structure in the house, you should not be like, I'm good. I've got three people on my side. I don't need to gather information. I don't need to build anything. I just need to take out the person I don't like the most. Like, that's not going to work for you. That's not really the way to go here. And Marty is gathering zero information because he's just saying everything to people. And he's making so many enemies by telling so many people that he wants to target them, that he's going to put them on the block, that they're completely expendable to him. And these people are the few people that are not in the power, the existing power structure. These are the people that he will likely need in the future if he wants to move forward in the game to break up whatever existing structure exists. So this is not great so far.
Mm-mm. Yeah, especially because, like, the people in the Power Alliance are like, if there was another big alliance, like the size of us, then we would know about this. And the other people outside of the alliance, for the most part, are like, I'm not in a big alliance, which means there is something that I am not in. Marty seems to be the only person who thinks that maybe it'll build in week three, week four. We'll figure that out. So he is not moving fast enough. I think there are a few other people in the house, like Kevin, who are probably playing like a little too slow here and not being active enough. But I think that Kevin would be doing more with his HOH, whereas Marty is taking more of a relaxed approach here.
Yes. And if you are in the big power structure, Marty is so perfect for you because he's winning this HOH. He's doing essentially, like, maybe he's not taking out Jessica, but he's doing your bidding ultimately by taking out somebody not in the power structure. And pissing so many people off in the process. He's a target now. He's a threat. He's a huge distraction. He's easily somebody that can be taken out as sort of a sacrificial lamb at some point in the game if need be. Now, you know, still, I appreciate that Marty has a will of his own and that he is, as we saw last season, Austin eventually targets Josh, who, could have been a number on that side. and that she really was against doing in the first. I mean, like, if Marty eventually targets Jessica, that would sort of be the equivalent, the true equivalent. But really, it doesn't really matter. Like, all of these people were potential Marty allies. Like, Marty could have worked with Jay. Marty eventually has a conversation with Jay where he lets them know that they're going up on the block. And Jay kind of opens up to Marty about like, yeah, you know, maybe we didn't bond. Like, you know, we're very different, culturally. Maybe that there's, you know, something that we could do moving forward to get to know each other better, but it's a little late for that. For Marty's part, because he is not going to budge on putting Jay up on the block. And who knows? Maybe Marty isn't capable of like developing a relationship with Jay. But either way, like, you know, this is it's not great.
Yeah, definitely not. Especially when like Jay finally goes to talk to Marty and immediately, Marty, please come to the diary room. So Jay thought they're out of time. Marty is, Jay, you're going up. I'm sorry. And Jay is basically looking at the camera like, Canada, I'm ready for it. Like, I am ready to do this. So I don't think the relationship has been there. Apparently, Marty like threw out an olive branch and Jay thought that they took it, but Marty doesn't think they did. So ideally, that would have developed for both of them, really. I think they could use it, but you know, it's not coming to pass at the moment.
So that's we're still not even done here. He's got more things that he has to say for his speech. He talks a lot about Kevin Martin is his idol in the game. He loves Kevin Martin, and he knows that Kevin Martin right now, the strategist, strategist Kevin Martin, would be telling him, oh, you're being so dumb. What are you doing? Stop being honest and having integrity. Stop sticking to your word. It's Big Brother. And he knows his son would be saying the same thing. His son is also a strategist. His son would be telling him this as well. But it's just the way I've got to play the game. And he says, you know, I'm going to have an open door policy. That's when I was a supervisor, that's what I did. I had a door stopper. I kept the door open all the time. Doors open all the time. Door stoppers, leaving the door open, literally.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that was deemed a fire hazard. So he was told he's not allowed to do that for the HOH. I would like to say also his idol, Kevin Martin, who Marty has been telling everyone the story of how Kevin and Karen secretly did have a final two, which successfully made it to the end. And wow, they were working together the whole season and it just worked out. So Marty's not up on his idol's biography in total. So maybe he'll have to catch the Terrence Show Part 2 with Kevin. So he needs to really stay on top of it a little more.
Just a little bit. So that's basically the message here from I mean, there's it's, again, it's a very long message. But Jay, once they realize they're going up on the block, is upset, obviously, kind of realizes like, I've been doing well socially, which we've noticed, but probably should have been talking more game. I probably should have been doing more than just bonding with people socially. Probably should have been talking more game with people.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that Jay has like good instincts here. When they find out, they go immediately to people that they feel pretty comfortable with and say, I'm going up, let's talk. And I feel good. I feel great about my numbers. I trust you guys so much. I recognize that, like, I feel like I'm really good with people, but maybe I was just like kikiing, hanging out. I wasn't really talking game and that might be my downfall, but decides then to pull someone like Hermana aside and have a good conversation with him about how they can work together in the future. So I think Jay, yes, is very stressed, as evidenced by their like 14 outfit changes yesterday, but is starting to do good work as soon as they find out what their fate is here.
Yes. JC also is going to find out that she's going up. She is told by Gino. Kyle also lets her know ahead of time. And she cries to Gino when she finds out, kind of gets her head a little bit back in the game by the time she officially finds out and that she's ultimately nominated. She's also going to be doing some work throughout the day, which we will talk about. But she was upset, obviously, that she was blindsided by this, as was Jay, that neither of them felt like they would be on the chopping block here.
Mm-hmm. Even Jay, like when they found out that they were going up, they were like, I feel so confident. Oh, I hope it's not JC Lynn, because that would be bad. And he even says basically to JC Lynn, like, you're totally fine. Would never, like, Marty would never want to hurt Gino like that. Meanwhile, JC Lynn knows, like, So it is not ideal for her, where she knows that Jay is already making progress and starting their campaign, and JC Lynn has to be quiet until she can finally find Marty back from his Wendy's conversation. So JC Lynn is very much stressing in these moments before she's officially told.
Yes, and let me bring up the photos as well for people again, just in case you still haven't completely caught up with all the names here.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Gino, of course, is going to know ahead of time that JC is going. Gino does not really put up any fight here for JC. And Gino is in an interesting spot here with the women. We're going to have a lot to get into a little bit later about that. But specifically with JC, it seems like he is at least a little bit interested in JC, not as much with Steph. He is very much taking the sort of like hands-off approach, he is not gonna stick up for JC. He's, even when she's crying to him, he's kind of just like, yeah, it sucks. Not really there for her. I think, either he's just not that into her, or he's very much like game first. And I think that's what it is personally. It's game first. If she's in trouble, that's her. That's on her. I'm not gonna lose any sleep over it. And I think that she kind of feels that vibe as well throughout the day. We'll see if that goes anywhere. But this is going to be kind of a storyline moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Gino is 100% game first and recognizes that he's in a pretty great position, that he does not need to risk at all, including seeing that, like, JC Lynn, you could be gone in week two. I have three or four other options who might be here a lot longer, so I don't need to be investing in this right now. Let's see how you do this week.
Yes. So Marty also, of course, took Tanisha to Wendy's, and he got a video message from Jillian. We actually heard a leak of it, a little bit of it there on the feeds. So we have that to look forward to when we recap Monday night's episode. But that's about it for that's enough about Marty ish for now. He does talk to Kyle and Gino, of course. And Moose and Herman and a bunch of other people, but specifically, Marty is in an alliance with, and we alluded to this, yesterday. He's in a 4-person alliance with Kyle, Gino, and Moose. So the 4-person alliance, here is, Kyle, Moose, Gino, and Marty. So he talked to Kyle about their four. He feels good about their four. It's his, it's what he's all in on. It's his final four. They both agree that Moose is a little much. He's a little much, but he's with them. They'll work with him. He's in their four. But just know the true core, the true three of it. It's Kyle, Marty, and Gino. Moose is the fourth. He's on the outside of that. They talk about that and that's, and Kyle's like, oh yeah, I've talked to Gino about that. Absolutely. We feel the same way. Of course, I imagine from these guys, they're pretty much just stringing Marty along here. I mean, I'm sure he's, you know, they're not going to turn on him. They're not going to like vote him out or not going to like target him anytime soon. I don't think they're also going to like go out of their way to protect him if he needs to be this sort of distraction against one of them or something along those lines. But for him, he sees the core as Kyle himself and Gino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bros are definitely a thing. Marty's in on it. I think Gino and Kyle, like you've said, they seem like super eager, at least to make Marty feel like he is involved. Marty has done a little bit of work, though, not in this group. Herman, who I think a lot of people would like associate with them. And Marty seems pretty intent on bringing him in with like having a stronger relationship there and not just settling for the Gino and Kyle relationship, which I think is good, like even if he doesn't know exactly why it's so good, but they the bros definitely have been solidifying that core.
Yes, and Herman is definitely like very into, like Marty's gonna tell Herman about his conversation with Jay, and there's a story that Marty starts telling after his conversation with Jay where he's like, Jay is essentially saying like, well, I hope, you know, that if I stay, then like maybe I'll have to come after you. And Marty is like, and I looked to the camera and I went, there it is. This is Big Brother. Come at me. And he's so proud of that moment. And he tells Herman the story of it. And Herman's like, oh, who even are you? That's amazing. And then Herman starts telling the story. They had that moment.
Mm-hmm. Like we said, Marty, even preseason was like, I might not win, but I want to make good TV. And so this moment fell into Marty's lap and he is going to make sure it is on the television show. He is already very excited about the prospect.
Yeah. So speaking of Moose, Moose is, I would say that, that Moose and Summer are kind of our big wild cards of this Savage Seven. Neither of them can sit still. And I'm very optimistic about that because I'm really hoping that they are the ones that really cause some chaos here. Moose is getting antsy about planting targets on people. He's going to talk to Gino about like, so when are we going to get Herman out of the game? And Marty is a threat too now. And he's going to talk to Herman about like, so when does Gino go? And like, this is Moose. Like, he is already moving around talking to people. He's also going to talk to Helena. He's going to go to Helena in the telephone room. He's going to be like, so Helena, I've got something for you. What if we use each other? Right? Like we just have each other's backs, but nobody knows. And then if you need me to take out like your ally that you couldn't target, then I could do that for you. And if I have an ally that I can't target, you could take that person out for me. Like he's trying to strangers on a train this, and she's like, I don't know, maybe I don't really understand why I would want my ally out, but sure. And kind of is also like, I mean, there's a lot of alliances going around. Like, I don't know if you're in any, but you should probably get on that soon.
Mm-hmm. Moose is so chaotic and it's going to be fun. I'm very excited. But even like on top of the names we already listed, he was like, Tanisha's so good with everyone. How are we going to go about getting her out eventually? And just like his solution to this is to go to Helena and say there are lots of alliances that she's not in. I can take someone out that you're aligned with, which I'm going to do anyway. And then you can maybe target the specific person that I want you to. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the cleanest sales pitch from Moose. He is definitely a little like too high energy, a little too excited about his game. I am scared of a Moose HOH, but excited at the same time. So I'm very interested to see how Moose, even throughout the rest of the day we're talking about, continues.
Now, I will say, it was difficult to hear. This is not as bad as Celebrity, but the audio keeps cutting out on one of the cameras on the feeds, and they are a bit choppy overall. But I believe I heard Helena mention to somebody, it might have been Summer, that she had been thinking about targeting Moose, but maybe not anymore because he had a conversation with her, and maybe that there's some other sort of path for her there. So, I mean, it's again, like, it's sort of what I said yesterday where it's like Moose, this is who he is. He is just all over the place, which is a good thing. Playing hard is good. Playing hard and socializing hard, this, like, you know, like, being that person is not great. It can get you in trouble, which is why, you know, Kyle and Gino are in a great spot because they're playing very hard, but they're super chill. So you have that sort of, that's the ideal position to be in, but playing hard is still good because Moose is getting in there and talking to people where a lot of people aren't. And that's still going to benefit them and sort of keep them afloat, even though the personality is a little bit, dangerous here. And Moose, not really getting in any trouble for this yet. Nobody's ratting him out. You know, people are saying he's a bit much at times, but nobody's talking about targeting Moose here. And perhaps the few people that might have now kind of feeling like maybe not. He's also a very fun, funny thing. Moose knows nothing about the game. And he's constantly asking questions about it. Like, wait, so in the double eviction, like, how does that work? And he's always like getting names wrong. He's like, oh yeah, like when I talked to my sister about coming on the show, she said that there was some guy with a girlfriend, like Jackson, who he like messed up with the veto. And like Jedson. Oh yeah, Jedson. And constantly people are like, dude, you're faking this. Mm-hmm. Strategy. He's like, it's not my strategy. I'm telling you, I don't. It's like, it's genuinely. And in his conversation with Helena, she was like, you can tell me, like, now that we're, you know, talking like this, just like, you can tell me this strategy. It's like, it's really not. I promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that there's other times where Moose like is lying. And so people have, maybe not directly picked up on that, but started to assume that he's lying about more things than he's actually lying about. And so unfortunately for Moose, this is, somehow, while Kevin has managed to convince someone that he's not a fan of the show and doesn't know anything, Moose has suspicion that he's lying about his game knowledge.
So that's what's going on with Moose. There's going to be, we also learned that there's another alliance, a women's alliance. It's called Man Down or something along those lines. And it consists of Summer, Tanisha, Betty, and Helena. So that's Betty, Helena, Summer, and Tanisha. I don't even know if you can see my pointer, but that's fine. I think another side alliance here. Tanisha is going to make a few comments throughout the day that imply that her primary loyalty is to the Savage Seven. And that's sort of like, Herman, it feels the same way. Tanisha seems to feel the same way. I don't know if Summer feels the same way. I don't know if she's exactly on that page, but a few people are, and that's definitely something that could keep that seven together. Is you only need a couple of people to really just be like rah rah about the group to keep it together. But Betty and Helena are involved in something, which is nice to see because, up until this point, they've been fine socially. They've been like around, but, haven't really gotten a sense of like where they were strategically. But this is just essentially the bro alliance with Marty, right? Like this is to keep Helena and Betty sort of comfortable while the bigger group is in place. But I think what we're hoping to see is that these two, like, or these side alliances eventually cause some tension within the Seven to cause some infighting, and we'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely been talked about, like, how obvious the boys club is. Like, obviously, maybe we should get something going with the girls. So I was excited to see that, like, we know Summer and Tanisha are involved in stuff, but Helena and Betty, we had not really known exactly where they stood. And, like, I've been impressed with Helena, especially in one-on-one conversations. I think she's really good at relating to people and also, like, recognizing her position in the game, trying to figure out where they can move forward. Betty is good at getting information from people, so I am encouraged to see that at least they have a space in the game, even if it is not the most secure.
Yes. With this knowledge, it really, like, everybody is, like, this is perhaps one of the biggest power structures we've ever seen. The problem is that there's not really one person directing it all. Which is usually going to make it more effective because they can sort of keep things organized. But the only people not in this overarching power structure, whether they're in the Seven themselves or they're in some kind of branch out, side alliance, is genuinely just Kevin and Jessica. And then, you know, Jay, right? Like, Jay's not really in anything official, either, which makes it all the more like Marty's managing to shoot just one of the three people. And if he doesn't get Jay, it's going to be Kevin. Like, and nobody's even really like pushing for that to happen. Like, nobody's really doing much to make sure that happens. But yeah, this is a very large group. And I think that, with that, it could cause some, again, instability, especially since there's not really one driving force keeping it all together. But we will see. Marty is going to nominate Jay and JC. They are going to go up on the block, together. JC does have a conversation with Kevin about, like, hey, maybe we should support each other in the game. Kevin kind of, opens up to her about not feeling super comfortable in social situations. I assume that this is the kind of conversation that, like, Kevin in the diary room would be like, aha, my plan is working. But it's also, like, I think a little bit genuine. And so JC seems to be hoping that Kevin is a reliable vote for her. I don't think that Kevin is, like, locked in on anybody, though. If he sees an opportunity, he's going to take it. JC's also going to go to Betty and pitch to Betty that she wants the women to work together. She thinks the guys are working together. She wants to get in with the women. Little did she know, the women are already together. So Betty's going to let, Summer and Tanisha and them know that JC's thinking this. And they're kind of like, eh.
Yeah. And I don't think Betty came away from this conversation feeling the best. I feel like she was really good in it. Like, she's saying to JC Lynn, like, oh, you're working with Stephanie, right? And JC's like, oh, like, I might not be. And she's like, no, it's good if you are. Like, that's helpful for me. It would be a number to bring in. She's like, oh, okay, then I am. but it's not, like, ideal. I think it goes, like, pretty smoothly on the surface, but Betty comes away from it, like, getting information from JC Lynn, but not really feeling that great about her in the long term. And immediately, like we said, like, runs to Summer, tells her everything. So, Betty, very funny in this conversation. People, are able to rewatch, but
it's a little late, I think, for JC. And they, she even, like, kind of mentions it as well. I think something that Betty was, like, not super pleased with was that JC was like, oh, I was kind of intimidated by you at first. Just like, okay, that's great. That's great for you. It did not go super well. But that could play into something, when it comes to if Jay and JC stay on the block. JC definitely seems to be the person that will stay for now. There are some things, you know, some pieces, in the game that could give reason to believe that things could be a little bit more fluid than that. and there's certainly plenty of time. So we'll get to that as well. Let's talk about Gino. Let's talk about these showmancy things, because it's a big storyline through the day. Yesterday we talked about Summer talking with Gino about showmances, about JC, and about like Summer was talking to Gino about like, who are you gonna choose? And she's like, I'm into the booty. So I think you should go here. She's trying to help him choose. It's very awkward. Kyle feels like a third wheel every time he walks into the room, to the point where she's like, oh, I forgot you were with us. Do the sign. By the way, the sign, I've seen the actual gif of the NBA player who he points to the forearm, not the elbow, the forearm. That makes so much more sense. I think Gino did it right, by the way. I think Tanisha and Kyle got it right. And then yeah, they're all doing it wrong in the house. Summer is very into this whole, you know, she just loves talking to Gino about showmances. And she's talking to Gino about the showmances. And she's talking about like, which do you prefer? He's like, I don't really like Steph. Like, Steph, she's always chasing me around. I don't know how to get away from her. Normally I would just ghost, but I can't. Like, I'm in the house. There's nowhere I can go. And Summer really wants to help deflect for Gino. People are talking about your showman. So they're going to pair you up. Oh, it's going to be bad. Other than Summer, but he's like, oh, thank you for telling me that people are saying things, because I guess I should be worried now. And she's like, don't worry, I'm gonna help deflect. I'm gonna get one of the guys like Herman or Kyle to act like they're interested in the women, and then maybe we can like fake a fight between you and Herman over JC, something like that, and then. I'm going to fake a fight with Tanisha, right? Cause people see me and her as too tight. So at some point I'm going to fake a fight with Tanisha. That's going to be a thing. He's going to be like, but then, you know, you've told a few people that you're going to do that. So like, I'm going to know that it's fake. So you're not going to know it's fake.
I can't wait till they get in an actual argument. No one believes that it's actually happening. Cause that yeah. will be like worst case scenario for Summer.
And she's like, don't worry. I've also talked to JC and Steph, both about like not getting too close to you, because they'll be a target. And he's like, oh, thank you for doing that. They're talking through all of this stuff. She then later goes to Herman and she makes this pitch to Herman. And we missed part of it. We missed the beginning of it. So unfortunately we don't have like the full thing. And it's also like it doesn't always make a ton of sense, like who she's talking about and what the exact plan is. But the plan seems to be something along the lines of like, hey, Herman, can you, fake interest in JC or something to help Gino out, help get some of these women off his back, help get some of these, showmancy things off of his back. And Herman is like, no. Absolutely not. Are you serious? She's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's just like, it's just an idea that I had. And he's like, yeah, definitely not doing that. That's a really bad idea. And she's like, oh, that's fine. I probably shouldn't have even said anything. And then he's like, oh, no, you should come to me with these ideas. Please come to me with these ideas when you have them. Please don't just do things by yourself. Please do come to me. It's totally fine that you came to me. It's a really bad idea, but I'm glad you came to me about it. And she's like, okay. So I'll just do my own thing. I'll do something myself about this whole showman's thing. I'll figure it out. He's like, okay, yeah. Okay. You do that. As long as it's just you, you can do that.
Yeah, people thought Herman was going to be chaotic coming into the house, and here is Summer pitching chaos, and Herman is like, no, I don't want any of this near me, which, like, good instinct by Herman, not by Summer, maybe to, like, set up the chaos somewhere else, but once she is involving herself in this, not great, so I think it's a little transparent, but, you know, Summer is gonna Summer, and I'm gonna enjoy it. I think people also were kind of maybe like wishfully projecting that like, oh, Summer is actually interested in Gino and Gino's interested in Summer. I am people, but it's a more exciting romance, but it is, I don't think that's the case either.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see this, that the people are like, oh, Summer's doing all of this because she's trying to, you know, clear the path, or like, I think somebody even said that in the chat. And you know, that's certainly possible, but, this could also just be Summer. I don't think we know her well enough to know, if this, like, she could just be a gamer, right? And this is just an opportunity for her to be gamey. Right. So we'll see. We'll see where all of that goes. But, Tanisha does join the conversation as well. And her mom is like, yeah, she wanted me to do this. I was like, no. And like, he even had some logic around, like, why would we, you know, potentially damage multiple people in R7 to protect one person in the seven, when the other people are two people outside of the seven, Steph and JC. Like, that's a good thing for us if they get targeted because of this. And Summer was like, oh yeah. 'Cause like, in Summer's mind, I think the Honey Bunch, like, JC is part of the Honey Bunch. And forgot that, according to Herman, JC's not in the seven. And she even had to be reminded of, like, oh yeah, the seven. What do we call that again? It's like the Savage Seven. It's like, yeah, Savage Seven.
Yeah, my total number one alliance. It is, I stand. No. Summer, you know, a little forgetful here.
Well, Tanisha joins them, and Tanisha's all about the seven, or at least that's what she's giving to Herman. And she's like, this is what I think what you were referring to earlier, when Tanisha was like, I mean, there's no way. There's only eight other people in the house. They would all have to be in an alliance for them to outnumber us. And they're not. There's no way. We are the strength in this house. If we stick together, we're going to run this thing. And she's right. If they do stick together, they will run the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know people are already worried about a steamroll. The feeds have been on for 2 days. Like, calm down. We don't have no idea what happened in week one, to be frank. Like, we have the setup, but not exactly how it all went down. So things could be a lot messier than we even know at this point. Like we've said, with Moose, with Summer, with other personalities involved in the seven, I don't have a ton of faith in it staying at least a clean steamroll for sure.
Yes. So we're going to see an example of what Gino was talking about later in the night. They like to meditate in the phone room. And after a meditation session, Stephanie is going to sort of linger in there with Gino. And I feel like we get this every once in a while, where it's just like, we get these super awkward. You never really get to see this happen. Maybe you do if you watch other like love shows, but like in real life, you don't really get to see this play out in front of you because it's, you know, it's a private affair. But it's one person being very forward in a private situation with another person, thinking that they're doing really well flirting. It's also, I think it's usually like you expect it to be a guy. Like, it's usually a guy doing this. Like, you see that all the time. A guy doing this to a woman, being really forward. The woman's like, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Like, being as polite as possible, also not really being into it at all. And the guy just having no idea that it's not landing. But this is going to happen with Steph and Gino. She's trying very hard here. And he is not giving nothing, but basically giving like the bare minimum, of like a response. It's very awkward. She's touching him on the shoulder. They're laying down together. She's kind of like playing with her feet. And she's like, oh, you know, I always get what I want, Gino. And he's like, oh, that's great. And she starts talking about like, I'm a forward person. I don't think you're a forward person. And he's like, ah, I'm a forward person. She's like, then tell me something forward.
Oh, Stephanie. As the Love Island podcaster here, I have seen this happen one or two times. It is interesting. Stephanie, like, even changes her tone at points. Like, I think at one point she's like, you know, I try to, like, subtly make a move. It's like, oh, yeah, subtly. Like, yeah, definitely, yeah. Subtly. So,
she's like, and tell me something forward. He's like, I don't know. I don't have anything right now. And she's like, I'll say something for it. I can't see your eyes, Gino, which I don't like. And he turns to her and she says, I love eye contact. Your eyelashes are beautiful, she says to Gino. She's like, see, that's me being forward. Now you tell me something forward. And he's like, I don't have anything. like, what? Come on. He's like, don't you ever just not have thoughts? You know? And she's like, well, I have like four things that I could say.
I was going to say, yeah. Stephanie says all the time, I don't have thoughts.
Like, maybe I'm not a forward person. That's when she's like, I'm trying to be subtle. It's just not my thing, though. You're just an intriguing person, Gino. Maybe you're just a really boring person, and I'll find out when I get to know you more. And he's like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's your move, calling me boring? Like, okay. Like, great game, Stephanie, here.
Oh man, it's very awkward. It's very awkward. Especially when, like, it's Gino is, again, he's not giving much. Theoretically, he could be, again, interested and just not, not wanting it for game, but he did specifically tell Summer, and this is, like, he could have been lying to Summer, but he did tell Summer, like, she is chasing me around this house and I don't know what to do about it. And that's very much the vibe that you get from this conversation. So it is, I think it was, close to midnight here that this happened. So that's going on.
It is. Yeah. Earlier in the conversation with Summer, like, Summer's running through all the names. And when, she gets to JC Lynn, you know, it's like that one, like that's yeah. the one. So he clearly has his priority. I think it is, like, let's not rush things. It's week two. Like we said, she could go home. I think that Stephanie out of the running, even if JC Lynn was not around.
Yeah. One sort of twist here in the night is that we're going to see late into the night that Jay and Josh are going to have a conversation, and they seem to have a final two, or at least something close to it. That I don't know if there's like a super official thing, but Josh pretty explicitly said, like, I want to take you to the final two. Josh is saying that he kind of knows that there's a bit of a boys club happening. He feels a little bit on the outside of that, which is kind of something that we've observed. We've always kind of been like, where does Josh stand in all of this? He's included in a lot of these things theoretically, but he's never really in those conversations. So he really wants for Jay to stay, and he wants to work with Jay moving forward. And he said specifically, I will use the veto on you if I win it, because I think that you need to have the veto used on you. And I will work on trying to get the votes to keep you as well. So Josh is in Jay's corner. And even just this morning, he was doing some work trying to get some of the women on board to keep Jay around. And again, if these women are not super high on JC, I do think there's theoretically a world where there's something that could be spearheaded by Josh here to keep Jay around. I think the problem is that with Marty so adamant that Jay is his target, the guys might have difficulty allowing that to happen without losing Marty. And that's where things could get interesting. If the two sides feel strongly enough, we could already have some infighting. Or at the very least, it could just take some sort of influencing of one side over the other. So we'll see where that goes. I really hope that it leads to something here, but we'll see.
Yeah. I was so excited about this because, first of all, I'm in love with them both. So very exciting. Want them both in the house. Jay, I find to be the most fun person on the feeds for me right now. This conversation's happening. I close feed too. I'm on both angles of this. I was excited because, like you said, Josh, we had observed it, but to hear him finally say, like, I'm in that group, but I'm like the little brother who's hanging out with my brother's friends. I am the tertiary friend that is like hanging out with the friend group. And so I'm glad to see that he recognizes his position where he's not included in the Bros Alliance. He's not exactly in the twos. And so I think Jay is a super valuable relationship for Josh to keep around. And I also am excited because it makes this week a lot more interesting. Where I thought the Honey Bunch, I realized like, JC Lynn's in that. That takes away Josh and Summer, who are pretty important numbers for Jay. And seeing this conversation and just seeing Summer's relationship with Jay in general has made me much more optimistic in Jay's chances, at least for the week.
Yes. This is sort of what I was talking about at the start of this podcast, where like this power structure is massive, that it's week two and they're already kind of like this is my person, and this is my person, and I don't know if I want to lose my person over here. That again could be interesting. Now, I do think that JC has a big leg up here, being tied to Gino, being Marty's target, and also having this sort of like very loosely sort of tied together single person alliance. Just this morning, again, Herman was talking to Stephanie about how they definitely do have the numbers to keep JC safe because of that alliance. And so it will be especially difficult for them to let JC go if that were to happen. So like the guys can't really vote out unless they're completely outnumbered, which would mean that basically like Josh plus probably all four women of the Man Down Alliance, Tanisha, Summer, Betty, and Helena would all have to be votes there. And then that's still not enough. They need two more. Where do they get those other two votes? Maybe they could get Jess and Kevin. And then maybe at that point they would have the seven they need for the guys to be like, oh, sorry, we just got outnumbered. What can you do? But it's definitely going to be a tough road here. If they want to make that work, because even if they do get to that point, like having a one vote margin is not usually enough to overcome the will of the HOH and the sort of overall structure. But, we'll see.
Yeah, I think that I feel pretty good about Jess wanting to side over here. I think that Jay was someone that Jess like specifically said that they trust early on. And so I think ultimately Jay needs to really firm up that conversation that they had earlier with Herman. I think that's an important piece on the board, as well as Kevin. So I am, nervous, but I don't think it's a shut door by any means.
And also worth noting that Marty has been asking people, please play in the veto, please try to win it, and don't touch my nominations. Do not use it. He has been pushing that very hard, but I think there are very few people in the house that actually want to win it, because a lot of them, they feel, Herman said this to Stephanie, and Stephanie said this to Herman, that they would feel that JC would expect them to use it on her, and they don't want to go against what Marty wants, so they don't really want to win. There are a lot of people in the house that I think would probably throw this veto, if Josh plays, Josh is going to be trying to win, and will use it on Jay, or at least that's what he said so far. I have no reason to not believe him. I think there's a decent chance here that the veto is going to be used. If a lot of the people who are not on the block are throwing it, that increases the odds for Jay or JC to win. And then if you do have at least one person in Josh who will use it, Gino is another person who probably I think would throw it. I don't think even he's going to, go out of his way to protect JC, unless he already sees that the tides are turning and that the votes might not go the way that he wants. What all this means is that Kevin could be in a lot of danger here. I could really see Kevin in some trouble. Kevin should absolutely want to play in the veto. I imagine he knows this already because he knows that he's a potential option as a replacement. So, there's still a lot that could happen here between the vote between Jay and JC, and then also the veto, which, as I said, very likely to be in play this week.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think that the people who are on Jay's side are more likely to try and use it, whereas the people that would even consider using it on JC Lynn are not going to win. They don't want to. So JC pretty much has to win this herself. Like you said with Josh, I don't think that, like, when Josh first says, I will use the veto on you, I was like, all right, Josh is probably going to throw the veto. But then when Josh says, like, final two, if we're there at final three, I'm taking you, like, it's unspoken. That's where I'm like, all right, this is so unnecessary at final 15 if you don't mean this. So I think Josh would use this if he ends up playing today.
Yeah, and I don't hate it from Josh. I think that Jay is probably very valuable to Josh's game. If that's the position that he's in. Now, you know, using the veto on Jay against the will of the house in week two would probably put him in a little bit of a tough position. It would certainly make them out to be a pair, which would not be ideal. I think the ideal scenario is that Jay wins it themselves, but still, I'm always of the mind that, like, I would rather a person go ahead and just use the, like, do it. It might make you a target. It might put you in a weird place, but I'd rather you keep an ally than maintain the goodwill of the house. And so I like that Jay is thinking along these lines, especially because I think a lot of players in Jay's position, or sorry, Josh's position, Josh is thinking along this. It's too many Jay names. I think a lot of people in Josh's position would be like, I'm super comfortable. I'm in a bunch of alliances. I'm in a power structure. I don't need to worry about anything. I don't need to stick my neck out. I love that Josh is already thinking about, like, no, I need to make sure my pieces stay on the board here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's that's the difference between where Josh says, like, I am the tertiary member of this alliance versus Gino, who is like, I am set up for seven more weeks. Like, if Gino, like, goes ahead and wins, like, it somehow lucks into a win, I think he can talk his way into, like, I need to use this, and then we'll just still vote out Jay. But I think that, like, Gino's idea of throwing is, like, the best for him right now. Even if he were to catch wind that the vote could really, like, potentially change, I don't think it's worth him for him to stick his neck out, where for Josh, I think that position's different.
And that's pretty much what we've got. We've already seen a few things this morning, but we'll get to that tomorrow. Nothing too major, nothing that's going to change the status quo here. But there we go. That's again, lots of things we're trying to piece together still. This power structure is interesting because it is so big and fractured, and there's not really a core to it. It seems there's no stem here, to keep everything in place. And I think that could be a very good thing. A lot of players with a lot of side things going on. And a lot of self-interest happening as well. So we'll see where it all goes. Scally, anything else you wanted to bring up from yesterday?
The only conversation I don't feel like we spoke a ton about was the Betty Moose conversation, in which I thought Betty, again, was very funny. Moose is basically like, Betty, what type of game are you playing? And Moose is forward. He's going to ask you questions, and Betty is his match, because Betty will respond just as directly. So Moose is basically saying, like, what type of game are you playing? Betty says, like, I'm playing independent. Like, I'm not giving you any info. And Moose is like, people say they're playing independent games, but that means they're in a big alliance. That means they're in a big alliance. And Betty's like, oh, so you're in a big alliance? What's the name of it? What's going on, Moose? And Moose is like, no, I'm playing an independent game. She's like, so you're lying. You're lying to me right now? Like, and it's so fun. The dynamic was very funny. I think Moose has gotten comfortable in, like, playing this like forward game and, like, really getting information from people. But Betty's not giving it up that easy. Betty is usually the person also getting the information in the conversations. So that was one of my favorites as well from the day.
I do really like Betty. She's really making me proud here. I appreciate the energy she's bringing so far. I think she's got potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we said, seeing that Betty and Helena have that girls alliance is at least like a stepping stone. We can work with this. Now let's start solidifying a little more.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I feel like that's the kind of energy that they're going to need if they want to, like, if Josh wants to get the numbers to help save Jay, maybe something can happen there. And I think she is right to not feel great about JC, for as much as JC's talking about the women, like, this Gino thing. Like, that's a liability, you know? It's, you just can't trust it. You can't trust the showmance. It's just not going to work out. But that's what we got for today. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. We should have a veto competition today. That was on the screen. So we will have the results of that. Again, could completely change where we're going. If Kevin ends up on the block next to JC, I think it's a much more straightforward vote. And Kevin is probably out. If Kevin ends up on the block next to Jay, I think that it's at least a little bit more interesting. I think Kevin is still likely the vote there, but they would have to like smooth it over with Marty, and that could cause some issues. So we'll see where that goes, but we'll be able to update you on all of that and the veto and everything that happens with that tomorrow. And then on Monday, we will be live after the episode to talk through everything we see on That's What They Got at Wendy's. And then Tuesday will be our first Stock Watch podcast. We'll talk through the week of feeds. Should be a good time. Make sure you find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Aaron Armstrong, hanging out, watching the episodes with all of you, watching the feeds sometimes as well. If you follow the channel, my channel, then you can, you'll be notified when I go live, which is usually like when some stuff is going down in the house. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Check out the Taren Show. I talked with Ty most recently. You can hear what he's been up to since the big win. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and to the Big Brother feed here for Rob as a podcast. Scally, where can people find you?
Anything that I am doing is on Twitter at Brian_Scally, including I will be guesting on the Love is Blind wrap up this week to talk about the finale of season 2. I love mess as much as I love strategy, so I am excited to go ahead and talk about what's been going on with those couples all season long.
All right. I see more people being shut down when they're trying to flirt.
Oh, yeah. And the reverse and all of the above. It is quite a bit that happened on the reunion. So,
all right. Well, thank you all for joining us here today, and I will see all of you next time.